This morning we'll be reading from Romans chapter 15, and you'll get the connection. You will get the connection. Romans chapter 15, beginning at verse 22, and if you would stand with me as we read God's Word this morning, if you can. Romans chapter 15, verses 22 through the end of the chapter. In fact, my visit to you has been delayed so long because I have been preaching in these places, those places where God has not been spoken of, Jesus' name had not been mentioned. But now I have finished my work in these regions, and after all these long years of waiting, I am eager to visit you. I am planning to go to Spain, and when I do, I will stop off in Rome, and after I have enjoyed your fellowship for a little while, you can provide for my journey. But before I come, I must go to Jerusalem to take a gift to the believers there. For you see, the believers in Macedonia and Achaia have eagerly taken up an offering for the poor among the believers in Jerusalem. They were glad to do this because they feel that they owe a real debt to them. Since the Gentiles receive the spiritual blessings of the good news from the believers in Jerusalem, they feel the least that they can do is return to help them financially. As soon as I have delivered this money and completed this good deed of theirs, I will come to see you on my way to Spain. And I am sure that when I come, Christ will richly bless our time together. Dear brothers and sisters, I urge you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to join in my struggle by praying to God for me. Do this because of your love for me, given to you by the Holy Spirit. Pray that I will be rescued from those in Judea who refuse to obey God. Pray also that the believers there will be willing to accept the donation I am taking to Jerusalem. Then, by the will of God, I will be able to come to you with a joyful heart, and we will be an encouragement to each other. And now may God, who gives us His peace, be with you all. Amen. Lord, I pray that you'll open our hearts and motivate our souls to be a part of kingdom building today. Lord, I thank you for the work that you are doing through Joel and Cindy and the work that we just witnessed. Continue to give them the strength and the guidance and the wisdom to do the dubbing and the translating work that they're doing. Lord, guide and direct their steps and protect them as they do your work. May your word go forth. And Lord, this morning as we study your word, may it penetrate our hearts, the areas that may be hardened, that need to be softened by your Holy Spirit. Lord, we want to open ourselves up to you this morning so that you can speak to us and in turn use us in the coming days. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Paul has just expressed in his vision of going to the unreached and proclaiming the good news to those who have never heard the name of Jesus. In Matthew 28, verse 19, Jesus commissions his followers to go and make disciples of all nations. This pioneer spirit that Paul possessed and other ambassadors possessed to go and do what they are doing, going into forbidden areas, areas where the devil's stronghold has a hold, risking their lives to take the gospel to the ends of the earth, to people who have never heard of the saving grace of Jesus. That's the pioneer spirit that these ambassadors like Joel and Cindy possess, and the other ambassadors that you know and that I know and that we support possess. Not everyone is called to go to these remote places. If every one of us went today to all these remote places, who would send us? Be a problem there, wouldn't there be? Someone has to send. And all of us, but all of us are called to be a part of this kingdom building, either by going or by sending. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 says, "For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved." Verse 14, "But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how can anyone go and tell them without being sent?" That is why the scriptures say, "How beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring the good news." So how can you and I, how can we be a part of this process? We can go, and if God is calling you, I want to encourage you, and I want to visit with you, and I want to maybe make a plan to see if we can make that happen in the near future, or what it takes to make that happen in your life. If God is calling you to go, to be an ambassador to a group of people somewhere beyond Garden City, or even if your calling is here in Garden City, I want to be a part of that, equipping you and helping you and praying with you so that you can go. But how can we be a part of supporting those who are going? Most of us, that will include most of us in that category. You're either in the going or the sending, or you're disobedient. See, there is three categories, but I don't think any of you want to be in the disobedient category today. That's why you're here. You either want to go or you want to send those who are going. How can we be a part of supporting the ambassadors who are living some hundreds, some thousands of miles from Garden City, from our church here? How can we be a part of encouraging and supporting them? That's the answer I want to, those are the questions I want to address and the answers I'm looking for this morning. Let's look at this passage in Romans chapter 15. The first thing that Paul addresses is to build relationships. He talks about the relationships that he has with the people already in verses 22 through 24. "My visit to you has been delayed so long because I've been preaching in these places." He was missing them. He wanted to go to these people in Rome, to the church in Rome, but he had other priorities that were holding him back from this engagement. But now in verse 23, he says, "I have finished my work in these regions, and after all these long years of waiting, I am eager to visit you. I am planning to go to Spain. When I do, I will stop off in Rome, and after I have enjoyed your fellowship for a little while, you can provide for my journey." There's a couple of things that we can learn from this. We need to learn about the ambassadors that we support. We need to learn about their ministries. Just like watching this video, you learned a lot more about the Grainings than you knew 20 minutes ago because you watched this video. You see what they're doing. You see what we're contributing to when we support the Grainings. Might I just add here, in our general offering that we take every week, 12% of that, we call them the first fruits, go to agencies in our community and to ambassadors that we are sending overseas and even in the United States. 12% of what you give is already going to that, whether you know it or not. We have decided as a church to be a part of that, to make that an intentional part of our giving. Is it where God wants us to be? I think we need to increase that. And in time, I think by God's grace, we will. That is one way to support these. We got these ambassadors. We got to learn to know about them and about their ministries. What's going on in their areas of ministry? Sometimes things don't go as we had planned them. And Paul says, I've I've been delayed. Other places he says he's been sidetracked or diverted from going where he wanted to go. Sometimes our plans don't work out the way we intend them to be. And sometimes when we send missionaries, their courses change a little bit, and we as supporters need to look at what's going on, analyze it, and pray for them as they face different changes in their ministries. We need to have an understanding of what they're going through. And political climates can change overnight. We have people in some various locations that things could drastically change overnight. And we need to be, as supporters, be aware of what's going on and be ready to pray for them and be praying for them as they go through these difficult situations. Many of you know people in other countries. You know the volatile atmosphere that can be there in those areas. We need to be aware of those things. Learn about those different cultures. Learn about those different governments that are in charge where our ambassadors are at. And sometimes personnel changes have to be made. Adjustments have to be made. Missionaries are normal people like you and me. And sometimes we have personality clashes and we have to change assignments. We have to have understanding that missionaries are no different than we are. They've got a different call on their life maybe than we have, but they're human beings and they need our understanding and our support as they struggle through these normal issues of life. And another thing that we can do is connect. With the internet, you have so many opportunities to connect with our ambassadors. WhatsApp is a great one that a lot of missionaries use. It's easy. It's not doesn't take as much internet resources, and it's a whole lot easier to communicate and send pictures and to just visit and see what's going on in their lives. That is one way you can connect. But it takes time. It takes effort for you and me out of our normal schedule to take time to connect to these individuals and couples that are out, families that are out there. But we can connect and we have the ability to do it. It's whether we choose to do it. And as we develop those relationships, as we get to know people like the Grainings, we get to know their ministries, we get excited about what they're doing. They're going to change this, they're going to have the Jesus film in 7 more languages here in the near future. That's incredible. We are a part of that. And you and I can be a more specific part in that by what we choose to do, by engaging in through email or WhatsApp and see what's going on. Kind of interesting, as you look at verse 24, Paul boldly asked for assistance. That's one of the most difficult things. Well, maybe not the most difficult. It's one of the difficult things that ambassadors have is raising support. I know Andy and Scarlett are raising support right now. Now, I think they're over halfway, but they need individual supporters. We as a church have come alongside them and are helping them a little bit, but they need individual supporters to come alongside them and to give them a boost, give them a financial support. Paul doesn't mince any words. He says, after my visit there, I want you to support me in my journey. He expects them to be a part of the kingdom building. God expects us to be a part of that kingdom building. That should be a priority in our lives, is to helping see that gospel spread throughout the world. So build relationships with ambassadors. And don't take offense if they ask you for support. Gladly be a part of that support. If you have the means to do it, or if you can cut back on something, do it and be a part of it, because there's nothing more exciting than being a part of a ministry that's around the world taking the gospel to places where Jesus has never been mentioned. We need to do that here as well. I know that, but we're emphasizing the sending here part of the ambassadors that we send and how to support them. So verse 32, Paul goes on to say that these relationships are mutual. When he looks forward to being there and encouraging each other. So being a part of an ambassador's life is a mutual thing. We gain encouragement from seeing the ministry that they're involved in and the courage that they go about doing what they're doing. We gain from that as well. As we encourage them, we get encouragement as well. And another way to support our ambassadors is to show support with our resources. And I just was mentioning that a little bit here. But the gospel generates a generosity and a compassion within us. When we experience the grace of God in our lives, what God has done for us by giving us His Son Jesus, when we experience that gift of grace, it wells up inside of us what God has done for us. The grace that He has given us, the gift that He has given us, now becomes something that I want to give to others. It changes a hard heart into a compassionate heart for those who are hurting and those who are struggling, be it health-wise or financial-wise. They need somebody to encourage them. Our heart is softened because of what the gospel is doing in our lives. And we turn and do it with joy. Paul says, give with a cheerful heart. That's what the kind of giving that Jesus enjoys, when we give joyfully. Good deeds are the response to the good news. The spiritual blessings that come from the good news cause us to want to get involved in spreading this good news. Ephesians 2 verse 10. That's what God created us to do, is good deeds. Good deeds don't save us. They're a result of the fact that we've been saved. We want to do what glorifies God. We want to do good things for others. Giving is a spiritual discipline, as we see in these verses, in verse 25 through 29. But before I come, I must go to Jerusalem to take the gift to the believers there. For you see, the believers in Macedonia and Achaia have eagerly taken up an offering for the poor among the believers in Jerusalem. They were glad to do this because they felt they owe a real debt to them, since the Gentiles received the spiritual blessings of the good news from the believers in Jerusalem. They felt the least that they could do in return is to help them financially. As soon as I have delivered this money and completed this good deed of theirs, I will come to see you on my way to Spain. And I am sure that when I come, Christ will richly bless our time together. Giving is a spiritual discipline that we are called to do, something that is developed as we grow in faith. As a matter of fact, earlier in Philippians 4, Paul says that, I'll just read verses 14 through 17. Paul says in Philippians, "Yet it was good of you, the Philippians, to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need." Over time, Macedonia became a sending church, and they sent money with Paul. But when we come to Christ, we may not have, if you're new in the faith, you may not have much of a giving spirit. You may be, there's too many, you've seen too many TV evangelists that are begging for money or whatever, and you just hold on to your finances with a tighter hand and say, I don't know about this giving thing. But as we grow in our faith, as we grow in our love for Jesus Christ and what He does in our lives, We can't help but give. We can't help but give from the resources that God has entrusted to us. At least that's my case. And I think it's in a lot of your cases as well. And that is what Paul is asking for generosity. The third thing that we can do after we find out about their ministries and we build relationships and we grow with an attachment to our ambassadors, we'll want to support them financially, but we'll also want to pray for their protection. Look at verses 30 to 33. Dear friends, dear brothers and sisters, I urge you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to join in my struggle by praying to God for me. Do this because of your love for me. Do this because of your love for me, given to you by the Holy Spirit. Pray that I will be rescued from those in Judea who refuse to obey God. Pray also that the believers there will be willing to accept the donation I am taking to Jerusalem. Then, by the will of God, I will be able to come to you with a joyful heart, and we will be an encouragement to each other. Pray for their protection. Join in the ring. When he says, I urge you in the name of Jesus Christ to join in my struggle, he's asking them to come into the ring with him, to fight the fight with him. Two are better than one when it comes to a fight, wouldn't you agree? And a whole church with you gives you a whole lot more leverage when it comes to your fight that you might be having. Paul urges in the name of Jesus Christ to join him, come alongside of him, and fervently fight with him in his struggles. Jump in the ring with them with their struggles. It's something we do when a friend is diagnosed with cancer. We come alongside them. We jump in the ring with them. If you have that caring spirit, you just want to get in there with them, and maybe it's sitting down with them as they're taking the chemo treatments, and you suffer alongside of them. If you've had that experience, I've done that before, and I know it's a tough thing for us to do, but if you want to join in the fight with someone when somebody's struggling or fighting some illness or something, you have to get down there with them and share their struggle. How can we do that? We can pray with our ambassadors. Pray for them as they struggle and just engage in their struggle through prayer. We jump in with their struggle and pray passionately for God's strength and help and comfort and wisdom as they deal with their struggles. I know ministry can seem very lonely at times. Like I'm fighting alone. I and they need your prayer support. They need to know that you are praying for them. Don't just pray for them. Let them know that you are praying for them. It can be very lonely. And we need prayer warriors to jump in and fight with us in our struggles. In verse 30, the last part, he says, "Do this because of your love for me, given to you by the Holy Spirit." Several times, Paul says, "Pray in the Spirit." Now, of course, it's been interpreted various ways, but I just basically think it means that we pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit goes to bat for us in Romans chapter 10, I believe it is. Chapter 8, verse 26. We know that the Holy Spirit goes to bat for us and pleads for us in our needs. We should take that same example and pray for others, take their needs before God. The Holy Spirit is what motivates us to do that. The love that is generated from the Holy Spirit inside of us. Pray in the Spirit. Pray for protection from the opposition in verse 31. Pray for that I will be rescued from those in Judea who refuse to obey God. Most of our ambassadors are in territory that the devil has held for a long time. And he's not going to give it up because somebody comes and wants to share the gospel. He's going to fight with all that he has to discourage these ambassadors from sharing their faith, doing the ministry that they've been called to do. It can come through illnesses. It can come through situations in their family, their extended family at home, those different things. And if we know, we come alongside our ambassadors, we'll be aware of those things and we can pray fervently and passionately for them as they go through those struggles, and especially when they face opposition. And I know several of our ambassadors withhold their last names because of the dangerous situations that they're in. So be sensitive to that when you connect with these, and there's ways to do that. And if you have questions, you want to get involved in engaging with these ambassadors, we want to encourage you to do it in a way that protects everyone that is involved. Pray for the protection from the opposition, those who oppose Jesus Christ and the advancement of the good news. And then in the last part of verse 31, he says, pray also that the believers there will be willing to accept the donation I'm taking to Jerusalem. Sometimes opposition, unfortunately, comes from our own team. And it's sad when it happens, but sometimes it does. Paul here is worried that the believers in Jerusalem would reject the gift that he was bringing from Macedonia. Maybe it was a pride issue. You know, we want to pull up our own bootstraps. It's human nature. We don't want to be dependent on anyone. But Macedonia was giving to them because they had a turn where poverty had taken over in that area, probably because of persecution. And they wanted to help out in turn from the blessings that they had received. Pray also for God's will to be done. When Jesus gave a model prayer for us, he says, pray that your kingdom come, Lord, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Andrew Murray said this, it is in intercession for others that our faith and love and perseverance will be stirred up, and that the power of the Holy Spirit will be found to equip us for bringing salvation to people. It's through prayer that we can engage and be given instruction, even as the Holy Spirit guides us into how to communicate, how to connect with our ambassadors. This is such an incredible ministry to be a part of. I encourage you, a lot of times we get stuck on our own infirmities and our own dilemmas in life. You know, we have some tough things that we face, no doubt. But there's one way to help us through these situations is to get our eyes off of ourselves and onto the bigger picture of what God is trying to do around us and in our world. And this is one way that this can help you. If you're going through a tough time in your life right now, focus in on one of these ambassadors. Ken, why don't you come up here and share a few ways that we can connect with and support our ambassadors. And if you want names and addresses, phone numbers, email addresses, we want to help you get connected this morning and in the days to come. Paul ends his instruction portion of Romans We got another chapter left, but he ends his instruction time with this benediction. And now, may God who gives us his peace be with you all. Amen. If you have not experienced this peace that comes from the gospel, I want to share it with you and explain it more if I haven't explained it well enough. How this peace can overwhelm your soul in the midst of turmoil and troubles and help you live, thrive, and be a part of this kingdom building process. I want to explain that to you. May God, who gives us his peace, be with you all. Amen. May God bless. Thank you.